crossover.
The crossover continues to evolve.
Time for the crossover Gary Sharp Show featuring George. George coming in with not that Pacers sweatshirt almost looks like the Pittsburgh Penguins. When I first saw it, I thought, what is he doing with the pins on? And but it's the Pacers one because it looks like a sweater opposed to being a jersey or a hoodie. Good work though. I like it.
Thank you. It caught my eye. What, a couple of years ago, I was watching a game. It was their game day special. And I was like, I need it. And I bought it immediately, right off the TV.
How about him matching his mask to his undershirt?
No, that's impressive. Oh,
yeah. Good call.
How about that?
Look at
I didn't do that on purpose. Yeah,
pink shirt, and of course our 1620 The Zone for breast cancer awareness mask as well. Nice job.
That's pretty good. I'm trying out here this morning.
Happy Popcorn Day, everybody.
That is one thing I do miss about this office, is the smell of popcorn.
I do.
COVID killed popcorn
in
this building.
It. People didn't know in this office, Miss Cynthia would make popcorn every morning. And so at some point in the morning, you'd hear it, you'd smell it and hear it, and then maybe grab some at the end. The kids came to visit. When kids came to visit, grab some popcorn. It was great. Happy Popcorn Day.
Well, I mean, we all kind of miss theater popcorn.
Oh, I just went to the theater 2 weeks ago.
You know what? I haven't been because there's not really a movie that I want to go see in the theater.
Mm.
I think I'll wait a little bit longer.
We've seen a lot of old stuff, bringing things back. Like, we've seen the Star Wars movies, and we've seen they brought back an Avengers movie that we went and saw. But, yeah, most of the stuff's been on TV.
Has the prices changed? I mean, is it still like they knocked down a couple bucks off a soda?
Well, we went on Tuesday, so it was $5 anyway.
Oh, smart.
And then we went Sunday morning the last time, and again, it's cheap to go Sunday morning. But the best thing about the way they do it now is online, you order your food on the way there, and then you get there, you get everything done, then they send you a buzzer, you come out, it's all set up for you, you grab your food and you go. It's pretty cool.
That's a smart idea.
I like the way it's set up.
I know there have been times, like during the summer, where Exarban Cinema would sell like their popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, the theater wasn't open, but they would sell their popcorn.
Maple, $20,000 did the same thing. You just swing by and buy the popcorn if you like it a lot.
Are you a caramel? Kettle corn guy? You're not a caramel corn guy?
Butter popcorn. I don't like sweet popcorn. I don't like sweet many things. And I definitely don't like cheddar. I'm a plain. What is it called? The Chicago mix, right?
Yes.
The guy I used to work with, you know, Joe Gans, loved the cheddar mix. That was his favorite thing to eat. Love popcorn. I just want butter. That's it. Or I'll take just plain. Just a little salt is good enough for me, but I don't like it when it's sweet. I don't like the kettle corn.
Kettle corn blew up, what was it, probably about 15 years ago? It seemed like it started at farmers markets.
And the College World Series.
Uh-huh. And then it took off. Yeah. And now you can get it everywhere.
Not a fan. Not a fan of that at all. Uh-uh. I like kettle chips, but not kettle corn.
I used to see, how many people have a old-time popcorn popper, the air popper?
We do. We have one.
You still have one?
Yep. We have two kinds. We have the one that is the old pot that has the handle that you turn. Yeah. We have that one, and then we have a standard air popper, too.
I had a little issue when I was in college. I thought I would make popcorn on the stove. Did not go so well.
Did you have the oil? The right kind of oil?
I don't believe so.
That's the problem.
Because there was a lot more flames than there were actual kernels. Yeah. Because I was like, I saw this on TV, and it'd be kind of cool. Like, it's all popping, and, like, the top of the pot will, fall off because there's all this popcorn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably missed a direction or two during the lead-up.
And the oil is so important because different oils boil at different temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
And you need the one that works right. Usually it's canola that works right for popcorn. If you have the wrong one, you burn your popcorn. Or then if you don't have the right one, the kernels don't pop right. Yeah.
The air popper popcorn maker in my household growing up was very, very popular.
They are. Did you have the one that had the little container where you could put the butter in it?
Yep.
And then it would drip down?
Yeah
that was good.
Now you got popcorn. George tells me all the time, George likes his popcorn, and he just dumps M&M's in there.
A lot of people do that.
That's good.
Yeah, M&M's good. Or I like any kind of gummies. I buy the Exarban had, I don't think they still do, they still have the Sweet Tart machine. Remember the machine where you could put your card in and it would give you by the quarter pound?
Yeah.
I would buy the mixture of the sour gummies and the Sweet Tarts and do those. Mm. But in our popcorn, which makes my kid very upset, we put jalapenos in there.
In the popcorn?
Mm-hmm. We get the jalapenos
like
that come
jalapenos,
in the little.
But I don't know that I would
And
try.
We sprinkle them over the popcorn, and that's how my wife and I eat the popcorn in the movie theater.
Yeah. We always act like we need it for our nachos or whatever, but we put in our popcorn.
See, there's a lot of things I sneak into the movie theater. Like popcorn, I would not sneak in.
No.
You can't go wrong with movie theater popcorn.
They do the best. Yeah. They do it the best. The best one in town for a long time was AMC. Even though they didn't have Coke products, they allowed you to put your own butter on.
Yeah.
They had the butter machine.
Oh.
So you could push the button and you could put all the butter you wanted in there, which is great. The problem is they had Pepsi, which I'm not a Pepsi guy.
You know what? We got to work on this because our good friends at Coke are getting crushed.
In LeBron, the state of Nebraska?
LeBron is going to Pepsi.
Well, he's a Sprite guy, right?
He was a Sprite guy. And now he's shifting to Pepsi.
What is he now?
Look what it did to Nebraska.
He doesn't do Sprite anymore?
Nebraska used to be a Coke school. They went Pepsi.
I didn't know that LeBron had his own Sprite.
Yeah, and now he's
a Coke product.
Now he's making the move over to Pepsi products.
Wow, that's a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
He'd go get one of the most famous people in the world to be your guy.
He'd been with Coke for 18 years.
The thing? Is it Mountain Dew? What is he going to be?
I have no idea.
Not just regular Pepsi, right? I mean, that's one of the worst drinks in America.
He was with Coke for 18 years.
Yeah, I think they'll probably come up with a special LeBron brand.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
When you said 18 years, it like really hit. I was like.
You think about how long he's been in the league, yeah?
Yeah. This dude's been there for.
Well, and especially they build a marketing campaign around him and his Sprite.
Yeah. Wow. And Sprite is like that brand, especially for like NBA players.
It's amazing that it's funny because I never thought of Sprite being, not to be racial, but a black drink. It then became like the ultimate African-American soda. Everybody drank Sprite. I had never had it until about a year and a half ago. 2 years ago, John Niatawa brought me a Sprite because I'd never had one. I didn't even know it was, you know. We had 7-Up when I was a kid. Only reason you drank it was because your stomach was bothering you, and they gave you 7-Up to drink so you could belch.
So I don't remember the last time I drank 7-Up and Sprite by itself. I only affiliated with being sick.
Yeah.
And when you're sick, someone's going to bring you 7-Up. And so, well, I'm not sick. I'm not just going to go and get a 7-Up. But I also grew up in a household where my dad had RC Cola.
We did too. We loved RC Cola.
James will be, it's Mountain Dew.
That's what I figured. It had to be something for young people. Mm-hmm. Because Pepsi is an old person's drink. Mm-hmm. Just if you look at the trends, you don't see a lot of young people drinking Pepsi.
No.
But Mountain Dew is the one thing from the Pepsi product that young people really do drink.
And a note is that Mountain Dew has signed Zion Williamson as well.
Really?
Yeah.
So I give you a choice. Next 10 years. Zion or Ja? Is this even close?
George hesitated.
It's a lot closer than I would like it to be.
Really?
You said next 10?
I mean, give me a decade. Give me the next 10 years in the league. Who would you rather have?
And they stay on their current teams.
Fine, yeah, sure. Just as a player in the league.
I'd probably say Zion, but it's close.
See, for me, it's Ja without a doubt.
It's
like, I thought that when they came out, I liked him. I thought I understand Zion is very talented and he's a unique body style and every time I watch him, his game does nothing for me. He reminds me of a poor man's Corliss Williamson.
I heard that comparison when he was
one of my favorite players growing up, but that isn't the game anymore.
Mm. See, the thing with
Big Nasty's different.
The thing with Morant is where he's playing.
In Memphis?
Yes. He will get lost there. I mean, they're trying to build something around him.
Yeah.
But he's still playing in Memphis. He's playing in the West Division, where they're not even one of the top 8 teams.
Well, neither are the Pelicans.
The Pelicans, I think, have a better shot of being in the top 8.
They're not. Right now, they are minus money to not make the playoffs.
Ja doesn't have Justin Jackson Jr., so I think that hurts him a lot this year, at least the Memphis Grizzlies. Pelicans have a better chance than Memphis, but both of them are on the outside looking in.
Zion also is ahead because he was more well-known coming into the NBA.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
even
sure.
Though Morant's every dunk that he had at Murray State ended up on SportsCenter.
It was, yes. I just look at the two guys, and I just don't. Ja's defense is getting better, which people really questioned when he was coming in the league. Yep. I think his shot's going to improve. He can already get you off the dribble. And I think him as a passer, he's getting better as a passer. I love his game. And I've watched Memphis play 3 times so far this year. One of them, he got hurt in the game, so he didn't last very long. But I really enjoy it. I don't enjoy watching. And I was hopeful for Zion because I want to see New Orleans. It worked for basketball in that town. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people weren't going to the games before. I want that to happen. I want it to be successful. But I just don't – I'm not excited watching him play. And I can't believe he's going to stay healthy, not with that body. I don't see it.
So I'm back to this whole Coke thing, because the most famous athlete
– A cola. Coca-Cola. Not just going back to Coke. Okay, good.
Is Mean Joe Green.
The most famous, yes. Yes. No. Yes, most famous, no doubt. Going to Jersey to the kid.
So I was looking this up because I guess I don't really, when I think of athletes, I think of what drink they're doing. The branding of Pepsi before LeBron with the most famous athletes are all soccer players. And then the most popular U.S. athlete that Pepsi currently has, Saquon Barkley.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, Pepsi's always been musicians and or actors. Mostly
Michael
musicians.
Jackson. Musicians were huge with Michael Jackson.
It was always Pepsi. And then recently in the Super Bowl, they had, who's the girl that dances?
Shakira.
Shakira?
Is J-Lo.
No, who was
Beyonce.
No.
Katy Perry?
This past
Miley
Super
Cyrus?
Bowl.
Was J-Lo and Shakira?
Shakira? No, not as performers, but who was the commercial for Pepsi?
Oh.
Remember she did it and she was she had a phrase that she uses when she sings and had everybody saying it in the diner?
Oh, Cardi B.
Cardi B, thank you. Cardi B was the one that, it's always been a music people for Pepsi. It's never been athletes. But Coke has always been athletes. I don't know why there's a difference.
People, we spend a lot of airtime trying to diagnose Nebraska football's issues.
That's one of the big ones.
No,
when did that happen? The vote happened in 96, 97? And I understand why it happened. College kids are voting. They're going to vote for Mountain Dew. That's why it won, not because Pepsi over Coke. It was Mountain Dew over everything else.
It was awful. The only saving grace is I remember the first, I think it was the first month that Pepsi had the vending machines on campus. It was all free.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
they're getting paid, so they're fine.
Yeah, what is
they're getting paid? They're fine.
You know, and I love. I mean, I don't drink as much soda as I used to, but my go-to is Diet Coke. So I'm a big Coke. I don't drink Pepsi or Diet
Coke
Pepsi.
Zero.
What, CHI is Pepsi as well?
Yeah.
I think most of the venues around
it's
here.
It's Nebraska. It's a Nebraska thing. You go to most movie theaters, they have Pepsi. And I love, when I go to movies, I want a Coke Icy or a Cola Icy or whatever they call it. That's what I want. If they don't have that, I'm disappointed. But Coke Zero, I like Diet Mr. Pibb. I know it's silly, but it's one of my favorite. As a small kid, for a treat, they would give us two things.
Where do you find that at?
They would, at the grocery store. It's still being made. Where Diet Barks isn't being made anymore, Diet Mr. Pibb is still being made. So you go and we would get two things, a moon pie and a Mr. Pibb. That was one of the things they gave us for treats when I was a little kid in New Orleans. And so now I still like Mr. Pibb, but I don't drink the full loaded stuff. I drink the diet. It's good. If you like Dr. Pepper, it's a different version of Dr. Pepper.
See, Diet Dr. Pepper is a winner for me.
That's the closest to the regular.
Yes.
Yeah.
But same thing. You really can't tell the difference.
Mr. Pibb, you can't tell the difference either. Same thing. Yeah. I like Diet Barks, but you know, Coke stopped making it because of the coronavirus pandemic thing.
There are some sporting venues around here when you show up and you have a drink that is not the drink of choice in that building, they will ask you to take the label off or not bring it in.
They don't make you do that Memorial. Because every week when I go to football games at Nebraska, I bring two things with me. I bring a bottle of Coke Zero, and I bring an energy drink. And it's usually always something off-brand, like a Monster or something like that. So I always do that. Or Bing sometimes, depending on whatever we're buying from Costco. And they've never once said, don't bring that in. Because they know they don't like Pepsi either.
Well, we need to help our Coke guys. We need to help Mr. Stibbs. We need more Coke in this town.
I agree completely. But it's not going to – whoever pays the most money, and I guess Pepsi paid the most money.
I don't know.
Coke doesn't need Nebraska. Pepsi needs Nebraska, apparently.
What'd you say? Nebraska needs a Coke? I think they're taking care of Wichita. Okay.
Yeah, they're doing fine with that. They need a coach? What? No.
Hey, how about P.J. Fleck to Tennessee? How about that idea?
I don't think he would fit there. I wouldn't take the job if I was him. I think they have their coach right now. I think it's Kevin Steele.
Well, I have an interim coach.
Well, here's your thing. One, you need a guy who, at least in terms of investigations, has never been in trouble. You need that. You need a guy who knows the SEC. He knows them. And you also need a guy who is kind of just clean, and he fits perfectly. Now, I'm not saying he's your long-term guy, but for the next 3 or 4 years, as you're getting out of this, Kevin Steele should be your guy.
See, I said this last week. I said it's plain as day why Kevin Steele was hired during a hiring freeze is because they're making a move.
Yeah.
I agree. He brings stability.
That's what you need.
He is well respected in the industry.
He can recruit.
I don't think he's long term.
No,
but
he's definitely not.
He's also a guy that will fall on the sword because they're going to get hammered by the NCAA.
You know how old he is?
He is late 60s.
No, just 62.
Is he 62?
So say they sign him to a 4-year contract. One, he's going to make, life changing money. because of that, for his family going down the road. He gets them turned around. He gets some good recruiting done. They clean everything up. And then, yes, some younger coach comes along and probably takes over. But for those 3 or 4 years, he's perfect.
I think if the athletic director was already in place, I could see maybe past this year. But
see, I think it's not. It's beyond athletic director. It's chancellor and president at this point.
See,
it's beyond that.
I think you can't appease Tennessee with Kevin Steele as your head coach. You can get him as an interim. But you know what? His interim head coach may last a month and a half. Once they get an athletic director, then they'll hire a coach.
But how about a whole year?
I think he's great.
We've seen that before.
I think he's great for 1 year because they're going to get hammered by the NCAA. You don't have assistants handing recruits money in a McDonald's bag.
Not anymore.
And think you're going to get away with
not
it.
Not anymore. Yeah, not anymore. So who's the Arkansas guy that did that for a full year? Remember? Oh, my God. What was his name? He was very country accent. They brought him in to do 1 year when the patron.
Michigan State guy.
Yeah.
John
L. Smith.
Yes.
You bring a guy, you keep for 1 year to get everything going, and then you go and you hire yourself a coach.
But they have recruits that are saying no.
Sure.
He's got to hire a new staff. I don't think it's – right now it's not real attractive because you don't know what's going to happen. But I think he settles the waters, and then they hire hopefully a competent coach, but I'm not sure that Tennessee knows what a competent coach is.
Well, they had their opportunity to hire a guy who wins in Greg Schiano, and they basically made up stuff.
Well, that's because the fans run Tennessee.
Clay Travis.
Think about if Nebraska fans would have hired the coach after Solich, who it would have been.
Bob Stoops? Urban Meyer?
Urban Meyer was a name that was brought up.
Those were the two names I remember being brought up the most. I wasn't living here, but I remember – well, I was living here. Never take in mind. I remember in 2002, before they did the – so leave 2002 ends. Are you going to keep Solich or not? Going into 2003, I remember there being conversation about both those guys. Both those guys were part of a conversation.
I remember a conversation I had off air trying to ask Steve Peterson who was interested in the job.
And what did he say?
He said a lot to me. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, okay.
And I'm being sarcastic. He didn't say
I didn't say anything to you.
I mean, he had Mike Zimmer, who, most people didn't know at the time.
Right.
But even like when Bo was hired, if the fans had a say, because the fans hired Jeremy Pruitt, was not on the short list of anybody when he was hired at Tennessee. And I actually thought he would work out because Saban gave his blessing. Mm-hmm. I've always thought, up until recently, that Jeremy Pruitt would be the next Alabama coach because he would go to Tennessee. He already knew about Alabama. He would go to Tennessee. He would have success. He knew how to recruit in the SEC, and then he'd be ideal for Alabama.
Right.
That ain't happening.
No.
But the fans hired Jeremy Pruitt.
The fans hired Bo Pelini in 08.
In Tennessee, you had John Curry, who was a competent AD, was going to hire Greg Schiano, and the fans had a revolt. Not like we couldn't have seen this coming, that this was going to fall apart. You know, when Bo was hired, Bo was either Bo or Turner.
Or Turner, that was it. It was Bo or Turner. And the majority of people didn't want Turner.
The fans got their wish.
Yeah. I remember saying that I thought it should be Turner and was doing the show, obviously, on Sportsmanlike Conduct at the time. And people ripped me on message boards and why would you want to pick a guy like that? What's he going to do for you? And I thought Turner should have been the guy. But only because I had friends who worked at LSU and they had talked about Bo's explosive personality and how he didn't even get along with Jimbo Fisher at times. And because of things like that, I thought, is this the guy you want to hire for his first full-time job? Maybe he needs to go someplace else, get all that under control, become a CEO, and then come back. I thought Turner had already had that opportunity a little bit to do some stuff. So that was the guy I thought that would they were going to give the job to, but they didn't, obviously.
Well, and they were close to giving it to Jim Grobe. So.
You know what? That was the guy that Kugler wanted. He wanted Jim Grobe. I was like, Jim Grobe, you don't want to hire anybody that has grandchildren. That was one of my things. Don't hire anybody with grandchildren. And Jim Grobe had grandchildren, so we didn't like that at all. Then it was Turner, and then it was Bo, and then the other guy was Paul Johnson. And, you know, I'm a Paul Johnson guy. I wanted Paul Johnson. I thought Paul Johnson would be great. Fans would love it. But, you know, he ended up making twice as much going to Georgia Tech, so he was fine.
I mean, Jim Grobe was the guy.
Jim Grobe
made it to 11.
But he wanted to bring his whole staff.
He 11:45, and then T.O. said, no, there's – three guys you have to keep. And he said, I thought we had an agreement.
Right.
And it went, pfft.
I'm not going to make, you're not going to make
but,
me
But for
hire.
The last, so when Bo was let go, fans, there were some part of the fan base wanted Scott. The fans got to hire their head coach this last go around.
Yes. Well, let's go back to when Bo was fired. So when Bo was fired, the belief was is that Nebraska was going to make a splash hire.
Mm-hmm.
They thought Ike Horse was going to go out and hire a really big name. And I've told you this before. Over at the paper, they asked us for our top 20 candidates who we thought could be the head coach.
You said Mike Riley?
And we all did it. And I think we ended up coming up with, you know, we had a lot of crossover guys. We ended up coming up with like a list of 50. And Mike Riley was not on the list. But we really thought they would go out. Now, the guy that was on the top, I had two guys on top of my list. One guy was David Shaw. Because at the time, David Shaw was making less than $2 million and so a year. So we thought they could go get that. The other one was the University of Connecticut coach at the time, who was back there.
Randy Edsall.
Randy Edsall was a guy that we had on our list. And then the number one guy was Dan Mullen. We thought that because he was an offensive coordinator at the time, we thought they'll go get Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen will come in here, take the talent he has, recruit well, and he could win. None of those guys apparently got talked to. We certainly didn't think Bielema was a guy. That mention was crazy. And then no one saw Mike Riley coming.
No.
No one. Again, a guy who had grandchildren. Don't hire me somebody with grandchildren.
Well, they hired a guy who was 44 at the time with no grandchildren. So.
Yeah. Look, the guy that they wanted was Scott Frost. That's who the fans wanted. Only a handful of people I remember even being upset about it. You know, and they're still upset about it. They don't believe that he's the guy. But for the most part, it was a 95% approval rate.
Well, I'm going to talk about this throughout my show because whenever something happens at Tennessee with their football program, which that is the epitome of dysfunction. Thankfully, that does not truly exist around here to that level of dysfunction because there's not as many boosters that are involved. But anytime that Tennessee, Auburn, or Texas, they have issues and they fire coaches and they get into the carousel and they're paying all these kind of buyouts, Nebraska gets drawn into the discussion because of... You know, people go, well, it's not the 90s anymore. But what's going on at Tennessee is like, first of all, you should have seen it coming. But it's the insanity of the Southeastern Conference. In a place that's got the fifth largest stadium in all of college football that has so many issues in the athletic department.
Right.
That this might actually be okay. That Jeremy Pruitt had mediocre results. They found some issues with recruiting. They can blow everybody out. And then you finally got rid of an athletic director who, you know, was masquerading as a football coach. Phil Fulmer was more interested in the football program and being at practice and stuff than actually running the athletic
department.
They
tried to make up for the mistake of pushing him out too early. They tried to make up for that. And that was the mistake. Here's the question I asked Damon during our Pick One segment we do on Tuesdays. Which one of these four teams wins a New Year's Six Bowl first? UCLA, Tennessee, Nebraska or Florida State?
Florida State.
We ended up settling on UCLA only because of the opportunity. So if you have a really good team in the Pac-12, Oregon or USC, the number two team most likely is going to go to a New Year's Six Bowl. With being Florida State, you may be the third or fourth team. Maybe you still make it, but it seems like a little bit harder. Nebraska, obviously, there's a bunch of teams ahead of them at this point. And then Tennessee does a bunch of teams ahead of them.
See, I think Florida State, I like Mike Norvell.
I do too. Big fan.
I mean, they've got – I think actually this year was okay for them because they opened up all the wounds that were left.
And they finished 3-5.
And they kind of started – they cleaned a lot of people out, either on the field and off the field, maybe he can get going in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree with you that I think he's the best modern coach out of all those guys. But I just, in order to get to that New Year's Six Bowl, I think UCLA has a little bit of an opportunity to get there. But we'll see.
Well, I'm going to go through. If you go back to the 18 coaches, the 2018 coaches that were hired.
Okay.
There's quite a few that are no longer at their respective schools. Uh-huh. But the range of success in the guys that were hired, because the class of 18, that's your first season at your current school or you've been fired, was a pretty good list. There were some big names that got hired in 2018, including Scott Frost. But it's a wide range of coaches that have had success to coaches that either got fired after 2 years or are right now 12-20 after 3 years.
Yeah, you go back to that 2015 year when Mike Riley was hired, a bunch of those guys got fired really quickly. You go back to 2008 when Bo was hired, you can count Dabo in that because he was an interim before that. He's the only guy, of course, left from that. That's still at school he was hired.
Well, I mean, you've had, three SEC schools that hired a head coach in 2018 have already moved on from their head coach.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Sumlin. I mean, Herm Edwards and Kevin Sumlin were hired in the same state.
Mm-hmm.
One at Arizona and Sumlin, and Edwards at Arizona State.
And one was praised and the other one wasn't.
And that was Kevin Sumlin.
Yep.
And Kevin Sumlin was out. You know, there's actually four in the SEC. Matt Luke was, he had a step in at Ole Miss.
The Ole Miss thing, yeah.
Which I say PJ Fleck for Tennessee, which I think would be fascinating with the people at Tennessee and what he does. I think they would be would be a rocky marriage, but it might turn out to be great. One guy they won't be able to hire because the SEC will not let him hire Hugh Freeze. Greg Sankey will not let him hire Hugh Freeze.
What? So what Hugh Freeze did? Tell me what was so bad about what he did to the point where he can't get hired.
Well, one, he committed NCAA violation, which is one.
Using his cell phone, that thing?
There's other stuff that got, when they had a closure of their deal with him,
mm-hmm.
got closed up.
Okay.
So I don't think Greg Sankey likes him. Okay. He didn't like what he did at Ole Miss.
Understood. Understandable. He'd be the best hire for them.
He would. But the optics of why he had to leave Ole Miss.
Yeah. I think he's rebuilt his image, though.
I don't know.
I mean, look, if you watch him on the coaches thing, I think he's really done a good job of rebuilding his image.
I don't know. People at Liberty, man, you can go to Liberty and do whatever you want.
Sure. No doubt.
But why would he take the Tennessee job as well?
I don't understand why anybody would take it unless you're a young guy who's saying to yourself, I have the opportunity to make life-changing money over the course of the time they're going to let me be here, and I'm going to do it. Or you're a guy at the end of your career like a Kevin Steele who has the opportunity to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, I would like it. I would like Kevin Steele for a year, but I don't think Tennessee allows them to have a full year of an interim coach. NCAA possibility of investigations hanging over him.
As a Southerner, as a guy who grew up in the South the majority of my life, PJ Fleck's not flying.
I think he would be here.
It's not flying, bro.
I tell you what, he down there, they would eat that stuff up.
They do not.
Because he would not have any fear in a conference, which you cannot have any fear.
We do not cater to the people coming in that are carpetbaggers. You just don't. And he would be considered a carpetbagger.
Oh, my gosh. Look at throughout the conference. There's a bunch of carpetbaggers in that league.
None of them are like PJ Fleck, though. Not with that. That whole it's a little school mentality with the whole rowing the boat stuff. It's not. I'm just saying in the South, I don't think it would go over very well. And Tennessee's a job too. Was if you don't get it done in 2 years, they're already looking for somebody else.
Well, you'd have a ramp
have a little
up
bit because of
because
the probation.
If you do get in trouble,
yeah, you have a little bit of a leeway. That's why I think Kevin Steele being during that time during that leeway while he's recruiting would be a good idea.
See, the problem that Tennessee runs into in other schools like in Auburn or Texas, they have people that hire and they're always looking for the next Dabo Sweeney or the next Nick Saban,
right?
Or the next Urban Meyer.
I mean, Dabo was an accident.
I mean. Stop that!
Nobody saw Dabo coming.
Stop that! But I don't know who's gonna. I don't know who's gonna hire their coach. I think they got to hire an athletic director first.
Sure. See, I think I understand what you're saying about that, but because this is so serious, it's a president chancellor level hire thing. That it's got to be them that approves it.
Which now adds the extra layer of all these people that have Tennessee connections that are going to be involved in the hire. I mean, Peyton Manning's a legend.
Sure.
He can do whatever he wants.
Right.
But Peyton Manning. What does he know about hiring a college football coach for Tennessee? Good college football coach that would win at Tennessee.
Here's my answer to that. Has he ever not succeeded in something he's done?
Off the field, absolutely not. On the field, has he ever done something like this before?
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying, but he would work so hard to make the right suggestion that I would trust him. I'm not a Peyton Manning fan. I'm probably the biggest anti-Peyton Manning guy there is out there. But from what he did on the field to what he's done business-wise to what he's done with this ESPN stuff that he does, the Peyton Place thing, he just works harder than you. And I think he would make a good hire if you'd let him try to do it.
I don't know. I think you'd get stuck into that thing of you got to hire a Tennessee guy.
That's not a good idea. You don't need that.
No.
Because Nick Saban didn't go to Alabama.
No.
Should always be the end of that conversation. Nick Saban didn't go to Alabama.
You don't need a Tennessee guy.
You don't. You don't need
a If by far the best candidate is a guy that has Tennessee connections, great. But you don't need – that can't be your default of, okay, what's his connection to Tennessee? This is probably a good opportunity for Tennessee to start over. They have a brand-new athletic director.
Sure.
They got a brand-new head coach. They still, they have the fifth largest stadium in college football. It is not the 90s anymore. They've got some challenges. There are other teams in the SEC that rose up, like Georgia in your own division, and Florida is back. But it's still Tennessee. As long as you walk in there and you don't assume that it's the 90s again, yeah, and your expectations are, you know, reasonable, I think you have a shot.
Well, whoever they hire does not have to have an accent. That's important. Too many times places like that want to hear from a guy that sounds like them. That's not necessary.
Exactly. There you go. P.J. Fleck. P.J. Fleck in Knoxville.
Like, he will not sound like them. I think.
Can you imagine?
I think he'd get murderized.
You imagine before next season starts, they have a big orange kickoff in Neyland Stadium, and you got Kenny Chesney on stage and P.J. Fleck together. Rocky Top.
This sounds miserable, but good for him. Good luck to him. Good luck to him. Good luck.
Just Billy Napier, don't go there.
I still say if P.J.
Coastal
Fleck
Carolina,
goes someplace.
Don't go there.
A place he needs to go is someplace up north or Midwest.
Well,
like a Penn State if that was going to happen.
P.J. Fleck, realistically, if P.J. Fleck's next move is Notre Dame or in his own conference.
Sure. I always thought Michigan if they were going to get rid of their head coach.
But the thing about Fleck is he comes in and he brands everything.
Yeah, you got to commit to it.
But at Tennessee, I mean, who wouldn't? Wouldn't you want to see Tennessee fans getting excited about having a oar on the back of that Tennessee
helmet?
Well,
here's the thing. You just nailed it. So the Neyland Navy obviously is a huge part of Tennessee. It would make it much easier to do the whole row to boat stuff.
Oh,
the fact they have a Neyland Navy.
Oh, my God. We are on to this now.
I get it, but I wouldn't do it. Either way, if I was him, I wouldn't take the job, and I wouldn't hire him.
His agent, I bet, will float his name.
You think so?
I bet his agent floats his name.
All right, well.
Because the names that are being mentioned are all like the usual names that have come out this year, either for the Auburn job. You know, even a guy like Gus Malzahn wouldn't be a bad hire. Tom Herman actually wouldn't be a bad hire. If you were just looking to just raise heck.
No, Herman's got to go rehab his career, right?
Yeah. So he better hurry up quick because there's a lot of guys that are rehabbing their career that are signing on with Saban.
You take on an OC position or something like that, and then you – 1 year, do it well, and then go someplace else.
I think in his case, he probably sits out a year. But Gus Malzahn wouldn't be a bad hire.
No, it wouldn't be. He wouldn't be. He'll bring the offense in. That'll be exciting for the East. People will like to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
He can get a quarterback for sure. Hell, he got three of them. He might have picked the wrong one at Auburn. But, yeah, I could see that.
I don't know how much faith I have that Tennessee will get this one right.
Hugh Freeze is a no-brainer, though. Goodness.
I don't know.
No-brainer.
I don't know. Not in the SEC. Greg Sankey, good job standing up to Hugh Freeze.
I don't know why that would be the case.
Well, all you had to do is listen to the Tennessee people speak yesterday, and they had no.
Yeah, they want to try to get anybody without any kind of controversy. I get that.
And I think that's big for Greg Sankey and his conference, and because he feels like Hugh Freeze also did Ole Miss dirty, and it laid a bad stain on that program.
He made some mistakes, yes, but now he's all religious, so he's fine.
There you go. You either go to rehab your career under Nick Saban,
or just go get religion,
or you go to Lynchburg, Virginia, and hang out at Liberty
and do it that way.
Yes. Yeah. All right, thanks, Michael.
All right, man.